This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Tom Wilmer reporting the waterfront, Morro Bay, California, and the tall ships have come to port. And your name is?
Eric Dowell. I'm the program coordinator and third mate aboard Lady Washington.
I'm David Livingstone. I'm the chief mate aboard Hawaiian Chieftain.
Captain J.B. Smith, captain on Lady Washington.
So you guys came in like a little armada together.
Sort of like that, yes. We do sail together often. We've been here for about a week. Got in here just before the great blow that happened last week.
And you'll be here until when?
18th of December.
This is the middle of the winter. Where do you go from here? I'd want to go
south.
I'd want to go to Tahiti.
We're not going to get to Tahiti, but we'll be further south, Southern California.
L.A. area or further south?
Down towards San Diego.
Where are the boats based?
Home base port. Is Grays Harbor. They're Aberdeen, Washington. Same company owns both vessels, and they sail there in the summer in the Puget Sound area.
When were these built? These are real authentic replicas, right?
Well, one is, and one isn't. Lady Washington is the replica. She's a replica of the original Lady Washington, which was built sometime in the 1770s. Did all sorts of interesting explorations of this part of the world, this part of the northwest of America, which wasn't America then, but it became. So this replica of that particular vessel.
And the Hawaiian Chieftain.
Is something quite different.
Yeah. Hawaiian Chieftain was built 30 years ago in Lahaina, Hawaii, by Lawrence Dorsey, who was an eccentric billionaire. He built her so as to do sail cargo operations on Hawaiian islands with no port infrastructure. So she's built in a very peculiar way. Her rig is rather traditional 1850s style rig that you'd see like on a packet catch. It's a topsail catch, but her hull is really quite a modern, unique design.
And you have full diesel propulsion as well as sails on both vessels, right?
Absolutely. Hawaiian Chieftain, in fact, is a steel hull twin screw engine, so when we don't have the sails up and we're coming in a port, she handles a lot like a tugboat.
Lady Washington just has one screw and one engine, big heavy one. She's a 450 horsepower engine, which is needed in this boat because it's a heavy boat. It helps quite a bit. Ours is completely square rigged, Lady Washington's is, and she sails very well when she finds her wind, which usually is from somewhere around the stern. So otherwise, it's diesel power if you have to go upwind.
The other thing I've noticed is an endless stream of kids with big smiles.
Right. Well, that's where Eric here comes in.
Yeah. During the weekends, we bring public out for sails, like battle sails and adventure sails. But our main mission is during the week, is where we bring lots of field trips on board. Some of them are just for an hour dockside program. Some go out for sails for 2 to 3 hours. When the kids are on board, they learn a wide array of things from line handling, and they help us haul up the sails. They learn about navigation, kind of sneak some math into there. They learn about trade, the trade that the original Lady Washington did with the West Coast natives and with China, as well as what life of a sailor would be during that time period.
Some of the schools that have been here on board.
Today we had Cappy Culver Elementary, and then Georgia Brown Elementary, I believe, went on Hawaiian Chieftain as well today. So we're just kind of getting started with the school groups. We had to reschedule a couple because of the storm that blew in, but we're excited to have even more schools come on board.
And you're open to the public when you're dockside, right?
Yeah. So we have tours almost every day. So during the week, we usually have public dockside tours from 4 to 5 p.m. And on weekends, it's usually from 10 to 1 p.m. At least one of the boats will be open for tours.
I presume there's a fee?
There's a suggested donation. Since we're a nonprofit, most of our funding comes from a lot of different sources. And the suggested donation is $5 per person, and that goes straight towards our education programs.
What's the most rewarding about your job?
About my job and this particular vessel? I've sailed a lot of different kinds of boats. This is a unique vessel, being a square rigger, and she's great fun to sail and great fun to just go out there and muck about sailing. Also, the mission. I mean, you have to have a reason to do it, and if the reason is pure pleasure, then you're a yachtsman, right? Nothing against yachtsmen. I've been a yachtsman. I don't want to say anything against yachtsmen. But they're there because they want to be for the enjoyment of yachting. We're there because we like to, but we also like the type of work the boat is doing, which is educational work. So that's
naturally central to the mission, isn't it?
That is the whole point of going through all this folderol. It's a complicated boat. It's an expensive boat to run. Life could be a whole lot simpler than trying to run this kind of operation as an educational vessel, but that is the purpose, and it seems to work.
I do want to mention that in addition to education in the form of teaching kids about history and trade. These vessels are partially volunteer run, so only about half the crew are career mariners. The other half are volunteers coming aboard who may potentially become career mariners or who may just be interested in it. So right now we have five people aboard from the Seafarers Collective, which is a group that helps people get their first licensing and get a foot into the maritime industry from people from backgrounds who normally wouldn't get that opportunity. And I think these vessels are just phenomenal training platforms for people of all types to learn about what it's like to be a sailor.
How long would somebody do duty on board?
Generally speaking, we have people on board for a two-week program, and that's the minimum. You come aboard, we teach you how to be a deckhand, we teach you the lines, we teach you the sails. You're on your hands and knees cleaning the head sometimes. It's not all roses, but you're anywhere there from 2 weeks to 3 months generally.
And your regular crew, how long do they typically serve for?
Right now we're generally around six-month contracts for a regular crew.
And they come from all over?
Yeah, all over. We had a crew member who just got off on our last board who had been with us for about 6 months, and he was from Hong Kong. So, you know, we got people from all the world. I'm from Boston. I'm over here on the West Coast now.
We have a guy from Denmark on board Lady Washington right now. Yeah, so we've all over.
Have you guys ever taken the vessels across the Pacific, or they've stayed on the West Coast their whole lives?
This particular vessel has only been out of this coast once, and it was to do a film over in the Caribbean. However, Hawaiian Chieftain is a whole different story. Mm-hmm. This one here was built out of Washington State to celebrate the centennial of Washington becoming a state. And so it represents the state of Washington. Doesn't get too far away from the West Coast, except for that one time.
Was that Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, in fact, it was.
maybe you've heard of it.
Maybe you've heard of Johnny Depp. Yeah, we get that question a lot. Where's the wheel? Where did Johnny Depp stay for the movie?
No, they just plug one right on it.
But the Chieftain is a whole different story. She has a different thing.
Yeah, the Chieftain was built in Hawaii. Left Hawaii with a cargo hold full of refrigerators and bicycles and sailed to Tahiti under the captaincy of her eccentric billionaire owner. They got to Tahiti, they offloaded the bicycles and refrigerators, and he promptly sold her, so whatever mystery lies there, we may never know. But she has not been back to Hawaii since. She has been through the canal a couple times. She went to the East Coast for a spell, so she went over to the East Coast, came back to the West Coast. Most of her life has been spent on the West Coast.
Very, very cool. And I know you all have read Years Before the Mast and whatnot. Do you have moments where you're basically back in time and you have that palpable sense of what it was like those who went before you?
Yes, that's the type of boat this is, the type of sailing we do. It's not quite the same. We have a very comfortable lifestyle aboard the boat, far more so than Dana did in his voyaging. I mean, we have bunks, we have refrigeration. We have all sorts of amenities that they could have only, well, they didn't even dream of them. They didn't know they existed. So it's a pretty cushy lifestyle for us. But nonetheless, sailing a boat, it's an authentic replica. You can definitely get the feel. And the sailing itself of the vessel is very much like what Dana would have experienced, working the rig and actually sailing the vessel. So, yes, to answer your question.
I feel like I definitely have a spiritual link to every Jack Tar and officer of the past who has woken up to, good morning, it is 0200. It is squalling outside. It is heavy rain, and you should bring all of your fallies. It's extremely cold. Visibility is limited. You cannot see the end of the bowsprit, and there is no food in the galley. So.
And you're going to be climbing to the top for most gallant. Yeah.
And all the sails came out of their gaskets and need to fix that. Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is the most humbling and sobering part. Anybody that's read maritime history is what these guys put up with in the weather and the temperatures.
Yeah, it's every time we have students out, I like to have them do a moment of silence on deck, whether they're laying on the deck or standing up looking out, and everything's quiet, and we usually do a tack, so all the yard arms move, all the sails move. They just listen to the sounds of this wooden ship around them and kind of give them a taste of what at least the soundscape would be like, and have them imagine them sailing to a place that they'd never been before and seeing animals and birds and hearing the sounds of a wooden ship underneath them. That would be their home for a couple of years. That's the closest connection that I make every time we do that, which is pretty amazing. It's not something you get to hear, a soundscape that's free of cars and cell phones. And
very distinctive.
Yeah, and very distinctive, yeah.
And creaky.
Yeah.
Come on down and take a look at the boat.
Yeah.
I mean,
shameless,
that's the best thing you can do.
Get shameless plug, historicalseaport.org. That's where our schedule is. You should come check it out.
Okay, one more time for the website.
Historicalseaport.org.
And one more Johnny Depp question. When the vessel
never
went
get away from it.
Yeah, well, when the vessel went down there and was in the movie, did they rename it?
It did have another name.
HMS Interceptor was the vessel she played, yeah.
So now we're going to have people re-renting the video.
Yeah, yeah.
They did a little painting up of things, too.
I just play one in the movies.
Yeah.
See, they changed some of the paint schemes and a few of the others. You know, they put a wheel back where we have a tiller. And so, yeah, they opened up a few things, added some guns and things to make it look more Hollywood. I have to go and look at the movie again. I can't even remember. But
yeah, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah,
it is very fun to watch them on the scenes. They're getting underway, and they start pulling on lines that don't do the thing they're supposed to be doing in the movie, and he starts spinning a wheel that doesn't exist. It's like watching Jurassic Park with a paleontologist. It's fun.
Yeah.
I love it. So once again, your names and titles.
Eric Dowell. I'm the program coordinator and third mate aboard Lady Washington.
Thanks, Eric.
David Livingstone, chief mate on Hawaiian Chieftain.
J.B. Smith, captain aboard Lady Washington.
Thanks, you guys, so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting with the Pirates in Morro Bay, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.